The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
Aye, Rolien, tell me about it. Really? You couldn't get it together to put a government together last night?
Apparently not. Look, we still have until midnight tonight. So everybody, a collective prayer for a miracle, please. We do expect Blue and White leader Benny Gantz to be making a speech at about 9 o'clock tonight, or some are saying perhaps maybe even earlier, but the deadline is tonight. And yeah, guys, I think we can have we can all thank Avigdor Lieberman for possibly sending us to a third round of elections. So let's break it down.
Yes, please do.
Avigdor Lieberman earlier today said that he would not be endorsing or backing either Gantz or Netanyahu as a leader or joining for a coalition. He said that the Likud has become captive of the ultra-religious bloc, and he said that both of them have displayed lack of leadership. He excoriated them. He said they're both making attempts to avoid unity governments. He said that he would not join neither a minority government or a small majority government. He's a man who very much knows that he holds the cards in his hands. A lot of what he said, calling the joint list, calling Arabs fifth column, a lot of what he said has resulted in a lot of criticism towards him, both from the left and from the right. He says that there is no leadership. He said one refused to accept President Reuven Rivlin's compromise, and the other refuses to give up his right-wing messianic bloc. And this comes just after Gantz said that he would accept the terms laid out by President Rivlin. And what happens now is if there is no resolve by midnight tonight, what could happen is it goes to any other MK who may want to form a coalition. And seeing that we've got these two major parties that haven't been able to do the job, we automatically would go to elections in March, making it the third in the space of a year.
Yeah, the mind boggles. Just a comment from Hachamor Rolien. No government still. What are they doing in all the meetings? Are they playing Sheshbesh? Well, you know, one actually begins to wonder. It's just a ludicrous.
Hachamor, I don't know if they're playing Sheshbesh, eating too much hummus. I don't know what the issue is
going on.
But one thing they're not doing is serving their electorate, serving their country. And a lot of frustrated people across the country. We want to get, we've got a lot of issues that we face as a country, a lot of security issues, both in the south, as we saw last week, in the north, as we'll be chatting about a little later. But we've got major issues that we need to have a solid government in place. There are domestic issues as well. You know, it's time to, you know, to cut the, insert your favorite word here, listeners, and get on with the business of Tachlis.
Yeah, 100%. Let's talk about those security issues, because I think there was a major, major escalation last night with Israel's attack on Damascus. They normally don't admit to these attacks, and yet they've been very, very public about their role last night. And very seriously, I believe a whole bunch of Iranians were killed as well. Tell us the story, Rolien.
Okay, so let's just look at the communication that is coming out of the IDF, and I have to commend them for this. You know, very often Israel faces the criticism, Israel has terrible public relations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and that's a whole other discussion for another time. However, one thing I have to commend the IDF, and especially their communications, or Dover Tzahal, their spokesman unit, for doing so superbly, is they are communicating exactly what they are doing in real time. And a couple of months ago, I had an interesting discussion with an Australian journalist who said, by the time we get to the news or the time we report, you know, we don't see it. Well, there's no excuse for lazy reporting. It's happening in real time, and very unusual of the IDF to give accounts of what they're doing. So basically what has happened is, following the four rockets that were fired at Israel yesterday and intercepted by the Iron Dome system, Israel struck Iranian targets inside Syria, not necessarily or not specifically Damascus, but Iranian targets within Syria. And our defense minister, Naftali Bennett, has warned Iranians. He said, you know, none of you are basically immune to Israel. But as a result, we now have 23 people killed as a result of these strikes, at least 16 of them Iranians. And this comes as tensions really escalate on the northern border. The Iranians seem to try and inch closer and closer and closer to trying to drag Israel into some kind of a conflagration. And I think it's also largely to distract from what is happening in Iran, and that is the protests across the country that has now resulted in, I think at last count, it was about 123 people killed.
Interestingly as well, I mean, you have a brand new defense minister, Naftali Bennett, who apparently has come out with some very bellicose language with regards to this issue yesterday, stating, wherever you send your octopus tentacles, we will hack them off. He warns after Al-Quds Force targets hit overnight. Ex-Intel chief slams unnecessary bellicose rhetoric. I mean, there's a point there, isn't there, Rolene, that at a time of escalating tensions, perhaps it's time to sort of look to reduce them and not escalate them.
Well, I agree with you there. You know, Naftali Bennett is one, is a person that's known for his no holds barred styled, almost like a belligerent way of talking. I think bellicose is the perfect word. Some people seem to enjoy that. I myself am not a fan. I think if you look at the upper echelons of the IDF and you look at people like our Ramatkal, Aviv Kochavi, Gantz before him, people like Gadi Eisenkot, Gabi Ashkenazi, it's not the style to kind of engage in that kind of rhetoric. You still have to respect the office that you
correct.
Hold.
Yeah.
But this is Naftali Bennett. This is his preferred way of communicating. I think it doesn't warrant the respect that is befitting the Israeli security establishment. Yeah. That is my opinion.
In experience, perhaps. Rolene, when we went on air at 4 o'clock, I asked listeners, I said, you and I both enjoyed it when they weighed in and asked questions. And I put it out there that I'd love them to do the same thing again. And they have. This is coming from left field. You are not prepared for this, but I'm throwing it at you anyway. Gimple the Fool, I believe we can now ride the bus in Tel Aviv on Saturdays. How did this get passed? I didn't notice that story and just forgot to raise it with you, but I'm raising it with you now.
Well, one of the issues that has been discussed and has come up for debate a number of times and was in one of these allegedly positive, we now know Avigdor Lieberman, I don't know if we can trust you when you say meetings are positive. One of the issues that was discussed was transport on Shabbat. So this Shabbat in Tel Aviv, they will be running a pilot program to test the waters, to see how people respond to having transport available. And, you know, we also have to remember that a city like Tel Aviv is extremely cosmopolitan and enjoys high levels of tourism, and we have to take that into account. Maybe not a city like Jerusalem on Shabbat, but we
correct.
Have to remember Tel Aviv is very much, especially on the weekend when things are open, very much a tourist hub.
And then in the time that's remaining, let's talk about the Dutch Parliament apparently defying the labeling mandate. Where was that again from? It was from the UN, wasn't it?
That was from the European Union Court of Justice. They put forward a ruling last week that is making mandatory the labeling of products from the West Bank, Judean, Samaria, whatever you want to call it, mandatory that it's labeled from this particular area. And the Dutch Parliament in a 82-68 vote, and some say it's largely symbolic, some say it's in defiance. They have said that they disagree with this labeling. They say it should only be mandatory if it applies to all disputed territory across the world. And we have to applaud the Dutch parliament for taking this stand, because they have exposed a dangerous double standard that has been put forward by the European Court of Justice.
Oh, very, very interesting. That's where we leave it, Rolien Marks. As always, thank you so much. And I'm already looking forward to speaking to you tomorrow.
Me too. And keep those questions coming, folks.
I reckon as well. I'm enjoying that as well. Yeah, keep them coming. Keep them coming.